Jack finally found a little bit of peace as he was waking up, getting up off of his bed. He pulled back the curtains and looked out over the veranda. It was kind of interesting because as he was looking over the veranda, he took in the view, and he does this almost every single day. He just looks at it and says, wow, I got lucky. I'm here. I've made it to this house up in the mountains. I've got a good wife, and our young daughter is becoming stronger, very, very smart, and she's healthy. And for another moment, he reminisced and looked back at his world beforehand in the big city and said, nah, that was the best thing I could have done to give that up. But now it was time to get the day started, and enough ruminating about those things yet again. So he got himself ready and left the shades open, but this time he opened up the window on the second floor and started to let some fresh air in. He walked over to the other room, said maybe it's time to take a shower and get ready for the day. There's a lot of work to be done. He heard some noise downstairs and knew that his wife was doing some chores in the house, and most likely his daughter was outside doing something, whatever hobby she might be enjoying at that moment. He knew soon probably his wife might be cooking some kind of breakfast, but he might go down and help her. So he went and took a shower. Later on, he got dressed and came downstairs, and sure enough, his wife had already started cooking. He looked over at his daughter, could see her side of her hair on the back porch from just outside the window. He could smell the food cooking on the stove. He said, yeah, it might be a good day today. She looked back at him, gave him a tilt of her head, and it's her way of saying good morning. He went outside, sat down next to his daughter, said, what are you up to right now? She says, I'm trying to figure out what kind of design I want to put into this piece of wood I found. I want to make it look cute. I want to put it on my table in my bedroom so that I can look at it and say, I know who you are. And Jack just looked at her and smiled. He knows that she can handle a knife on her own. He taught her how to do that some time ago. After all, they are living in the wilderness. But Jack has a little bit of a history that not many people know about. That history lies in a secret that just a few feet away from them resides in a shed with a different type of door. The outside door looks normal. The inside door, well, we're getting into some serious security and digital. So maybe you can imagine what that might be. Jack decided to get ready and headed back in and looked at his wife and said, you know, shook his hand and shook his head a little bit, suggesting, you know, can I help? She just kind of responded back with another gesture saying, no, I'm fine. Sure enough, a few minutes later, everything was cooked. Jack actually took the opportunity and put down 3 plates. It was the weekend, so it wasn't very stressful. but they were together. So they sat down, they had eggs and bacon and a little bit of toast. It was a nice morning. They had a refrigerator. They had most of the amenities that people have in the big city. But the power source, well, that's a little bit different. Solar power, yeah, it was there, but Jack already had learned a lot about solar power, so he looked at that as an emergency backup. Kind of a last stitch effort to keep something going. He knew that the batteries would not last for very long under too much of a drain. But it was there just in case. He had a few different generators and lots of fuel. Those were the dependable ones. He also had a little bit of a solar wind power that was just nearby the house. He didn't want to put it on top of the roof because that would be too high, and if there was a major storm, that would actually cause a problem, structural problem, and that was not a smart thing to do. So he dug it into the ground. It wasn't a big tower for a wind turbine, but it was enough to help charge batteries yet again. But again, his main fallback was generators, propane tank, and other things. He had enough money. So they all sat down and enjoyed the breakfast. They even had satellite TV, and their daughter decided to go sit down and watch some of it. Just kind of chilling out, and Jack decided to say, I'm going to go outside, and put his dishes in the sink, look back at her. She wasn't looking at him. She was actually watching the TV a little bit with her daughter, but from the kitchen table. So he went outside. He went over to his little shed, opened up the wooden door, very heavy one, good condition. Nothing about this house was old, rickety, or weak. Everything was strong. Even the glass was designed very, very strong. They could handle blizzards in winter, massive rainstorms, you name it, this house was ready for as much as what they consider to be nature's threat. At least that's what they hoped. So he opened up the door, went inside, the light automatically turned on. Then he threw a switch and a keypad lit up, and a little machine popped out at eye level. He entered in some numbers and let his eyes get scanned. A loud clunk, and the door was released, and he opened up. This is where it gets interesting, because he actually goes inside, down some stairs, and as he enters the stairwell to near the bottom, the whole room lights up. And we're not talking about a small room. This room was 100 feet deep and about 50 feet wide, maybe a little smaller. Ammunition, guns, life-saving support systems, medical, you name it. Anything you'd need for an emergency, including the self-defense, it was there. In the back corner, he even had a couple of different vehicles that were fully prepared and on a special lift that was under built into the ground. So just by pressing a button and getting into the car, an elevator would rise up. And he could drive it directly off the platform onto the ground. pretty advanced stuff. But so far, he's never had to use it. He always comes in there once a day just to check on things. It makes him feel more comfortable. So Jack came back out, thought of what he might be able to use for the day, and decided to, before he actually left at that second, he grabbed a very large knife. But he grabs this knife quite often. It's his favorite. He puts it on his back, saying, because he suspects they might be going for a hike today. Sure enough, he goes back outside, locks the door, closes the front door, goes back in the house, goes up to the wife and says, well, what do you think, hike? And they both look at him saying, that sounds like fun. Of course, hiking for these three is not really normal. They have a lot of technical stuff with them at all times. Backpack is full of stuff that keeps them very, very safe. So to them, they already know the area and they have some spots that they enjoy. So, yeah, sure. Let's go for another hike today. Let's go up to the let's go up to the higher end of the mountain, and we can pick some of the plants that are growing up there and maybe make some tea. About an hour later, they were actually locking up the house and started hiking. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because about an hour into their hike, Jack stopped, but he didn't have a reason that they knew of. He just stopped, looking around. His wife looked back at him and said, what's going on? He told his daughter and said, hold up. He started to look around. He says, I smelled something. She goes, and his wife was like, what did you smell? He goes, I'm not 100% sure, it was too light, but I think we have to pay attention because it smelled strong, like a strange musk. I don't know if it's just a small little animal that may be nearby that something happened, or if it's an apex. His wife looked at him and said, okay, that makes me a little nervous. Yes, we just need to be careful. So they started walking again. The wife walked cautiously. The daughter just kind of kept going. But Jack said, stay near to us, please. Very near. Not more than 10, 15 feet. So they kept walking. 10 minutes later, Jack stopped again and said, hold up. Down. So then they knew that command. They crouched down. But the crouch was not just bending their knees. It was more like getting ready to sprint. And Jack looked around and says, I smelled it again. He goes, it's that same smell, but it's a little stronger, but it's coming from one direction behind us. He goes, there's only one animal that would do that. We got some kind of bear on our trail. And his wife looked at him and says, again? I thought they were gone. They migrated onto another area. And he goes, no. I think, I don't know if it's the same one. He just looked at his wife and says, who knows? They both looked at the daughter and said, okay, come on back. He said, we're going to have to turn around. We're going to have to head back home. He said, we're going to have to backtrack the way we are, but just go slow. He brought out his knife. Jack wasn't a person who would jump to conclusions and take out his pistol. And believe me, his pistol was big. He didn't mess around. It wasn't some silly little thing that would maybe hurt an animal. If he was going to shoot, it wasn't shoot to kill, to hurt. It was shoot to kill. Out there, you don't take those kind of chances. So they started walking back, All three of them were a little bit worried. The daughter, though, she was worried, but she also knew that mom and dad knew how to take care of things. So they were walking back, and sure enough, within about 5 minutes or less, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, he smelled it again, this time very close, and he says, "Well, yeah, that's something big." And he looked off, slowly scanning his eyes, and this time he reached into his backpack and took out his binoculars. These were very powerful binoculars. A lot of skill sets inside software, hardware. And he looked in, started scanning the area about 100 feet out, seeing if there's anything hiding or just relaxing or watching them, and they just couldn't see it through all of the rocks and the trees. And sure enough, there it was, a grizzly looking right at them, but not charging, not walking towards them, just kind of keeping its nose in the air, sniffing. And he said, "Okay, we've been marked. Let's start walking very slowly, keep going down the hill." They started walking, but now Jack was watching, checking back quite frequently. The bear, unfortunately, started following them. Jack said, "Well, he has intent. He may be a little hungry, and he's very curious about what we are." He also realized that because it's a grizzly, he has to scare it off somehow. And raising your hands in the air only works for black bears. He looked at his wife and says, "I'm going to have to take out the pistol." She goes, "It's not attacking us." He says, "No, I'm not going to shoot it. I'm going to try to scare it away." The daughter is now right next to the mother, looking at dad, going, "This is getting serious." He sits, squats down, takes out the backpack off of him, opens it up, and rummages into a specific pocket. Pulls out the gun, pulls out one bullet from the package, loads it in, preps the gun to fire. He then looks around him just to make sure whichever direction he's going to fire, it doesn't accidentally hit something it shouldn't, the bullet, I mean. Sure enough, he also checked the wind. He said the best thing to do actually is not shoot it straight up into the air, but to shoot it at the ground in a distance nearby the bear. So he took aim at a certain location nearby the air, but it was in some deep dirt, and took the shot. This startled the bear. He really didn't, for a moment, didn't know what to do. He didn't instantly run, but that sound was so intense, the bear realized that whatever they were, they may not be worth trying to chase because they made it because of that sound. Yeah, that's too much. Another few seconds of looking at them, he finally said, "Okay, nope." And the bear turned around and walked away, but not very slowly. It walked away a little bit more quickly because it was now nervous. Jack looked back at them and said, "Okay, let's get going. Move. And let's get kind of going at a quick pace." Sure enough, within a few minutes, they got back to the house, went inside, and locked things up the appropriate way so that the wildlife could not get in. And he said, "We're going to have to spend the day inside. Let's turn on the security systems so that we know if something comes nearby, just in case that bear wants to come back. We'll show him who's boss." He also looked at his wife and said, I don't know if that was a female or a male. I could not tell. But if it's a female, I don't want to kill it. If it's a male, just rummaging around, if he gets too invasive and doesn't get the hint, maybe a taser or something to really hurt so that he goes away. Hopefully it will be resolved by tomorrow. Well, folks, that's the end of this particular chapter. Tomorrow we'll find out what happens with the bear and what kind of situation arises out of that, and also find out, does the bear have any children? Talk to you in the next one.